So, South Africa has a darts champion, not just a local one, but someone who is making it on the world stage. 34-year-old UK-based Devin Peterson stunning the darts world with victory at the German Darts Championship and in the process becoming the first African to win a professional darts corporation title. But what's a man from Mitchell's Plain in Cape Town doing living in West Yorkshire of all places?
It's all part of dreams and sacrifices and kind of just a pathway to finding one's end goal, if you must call it that. Not end goal, but goal in a sense. Growing up, my parents or my dad used to play, and his brothers and father used to play as well. So generational kind of dart family in a sense. And yeah, I kind of worked on my craft, going through the ranks from the amateur, playing in the local teams in Mitchell's Plain, and then finding myself in the board level, representing Mitchell's Plain at the board level, and then getting selected for Western Province, then South Africa, and then finally making it to the Q school, in a sense, which is similar to what you have on the PGA Tour, where you kind of have to be in the top echelon of the rankings to actually get a tour card to permit you to play on the tour. And now I find myself as a professional player, a dart player nonetheless.
So let's go all the way back to the beginning. You mentioned you learnt from your dad and other relatives, Devin. Was it a question of literally at home or in pubs, or where kind of the grounding? When did you first throw a dart and where?
In our family, every household or every cousin or uncle has a dartboard at their house. So whenever you're visiting, there's always a dartboard available and at our household, my dad used to play competitively and quite good as well. So there was always a dartboard in the home. We used to practice every day with my older brothers. But I wasn't allowed. When their friends came over, I wasn't allowed to be in the room. I used to get like the odd after school kind of practice. And when they come home, sometimes we'll practice. But yeah, it was something that was just always around in our family, but nobody's actually taken it obviously professional, because at that time it wasn't seen as a profession in a sense. But obviously as the years went on, the PBC escalated it to another monster as it is now, and a global sport, recognized globally, if I must call it that. And yeah, now I get the opportunity to travel the world and playing a sport I love.
So before we get into what you do as a professional, you know, darts player or pro darts player, just how big is the sport sort of professionally or semi-professionally in South Africa?
It's massive though. I mean, professionally, it's obviously still growing in a sense, but if you look at the amateur sport, the darts South Africa amateur side of it, I mean, I think there's probably over 6,000 members, registered members nationally, and then you have the odd garage player as well, which is kind of, see, they don't obviously register, so you don't have those numbers. But I know the sport of darts is played across South Africa in different garages as well. So yeah, I think the level, the standard that we have that is registered members, the players that I used to play against, they definitely can stand tall in the UK and on the professional circuit, is just having that opportunity to come here.
So from an organisation point of view, though, is there much in the way of an offering for professional darts players in South Africa? Are there tournaments that they can compete in, or is that the difference and that hence why you headed to the UK?
So yeah, the level of competition, I mean, most of it is locally based because of the size of South Africa and logistical nightmare. It would have to compete week in, week out like we do over here in the UK. But yeah, the level itself and the competitions that they have, we have one nationals in South Africa, and then you have like the weekly local tour or local leagues, and then from there you have the weekend tournaments. And yeah, so if you're talking about standard, it was you have to come to the UK if you want to play at the professional standard. I have started a last man standing darts events or events company that will then kind of give players opportunity to qualify for professional events like the World Champs and the World Cup, which is coming up now in the next few weeks. And yeah, that's kind of the stepping stone in creating a league environment where we can kind of emulate exactly what happens over in the UK and then give the players in South Africa a taste of it, so that when they do actually make the transition to becoming a professional, it's not kind of something that's unknown in a sense.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So we're moving slowly towards that. But I think my pockets are not that deep at the moment, or as it is. So, cause it's all self-funded and it's tough for us to get any sponsorship because obviously they don't see darts as a viable marketing opportunity yet in South Africa. So yeah. And then I'll be launching the Junior Dart Corporation in 2021, which will allow school-going kids to actually join the Devon Peterson Darts Academy. And then, obviously, we'll hone their skills and then hopefully get a few talented youngsters coming over to compete at the professional level.
So your ties with South Africa, Devon, are still strong. I mean, you've been – when did you first move to the UK and make the leap to try and have a crack on the Pro Tour there?
It was back in 2010 when I made the leap over. It's been a slog since then. And obviously coming over here, you need to come on a visitor sports visa before we could get a tier 2 visa and so on. So there's loads of obstacles in the way, and I kind of just fought through all of that. But yeah, like you say, the roots are still strong. I still believe that South Africa can be a dominant force in the sport itself. I'm a lone representative of the continent in the professional field. But I think that there's loads of talent that exists. And yeah, I mean, the likes of there's loads of kids coming through as well.
Yeah.
Even in Mitchell's Plain, I know of a few kids that are on the pathway to becoming professional level. And I think that at a young age, we can hone the skills. So yeah, I think that there's loads of opportunity and we're moving forward like that. I mean, we can cultivate it in a great sense.
Now, if you go back to 2010, 10 years ago, you would have been roughly 24. Give me a sense of what those early days on trying to have a go at being a pro in the UK was like.
I think it's like I started playing darts when I was around about 18, 17, 18, like at the amateur, because my dad wouldn't allow me to play if I didn't pass my matric. Like most parents are, like, you can't, they put not obstacles, but kind of you need to achieve something to make it worth your while in a sense. And then, which I'm quite grateful for. And then when I started playing, I quickly realized that I was quite good at the game. Rose through the ranks within the local leagues and then competing against the best players in South Africa, because they played in our local leagues, which kind of gave me a stepping stone to compete against. When you're competing against the best, you know exactly what kind of level you need to be after if you don't want to continue losing every week. So it helped me in my game, the likes of Charles Losper, Walid Clayton, and so on and so forth. And then I then moved on when getting to that stage, 4 years down the line, I rose to where I was selected for the World Cup team for South Africa. And represented my country for the Protea colors in the African Cup of Nations, if you must call it that. I won all the tournaments there and all the tournaments in that year. I kind of cleaned up. So I knew that my leap to the next level was to become a professional. It was still a pipeline dream. And then I just kind of, I was a retail banking consultant at that time. And then I just said, nah, I'm going to go for my goals. And I can always come back to South Africa if I needed to work. And then I jumped a ship and went over to the UK. Once I got here, obviously it's quite tough. I played in the World Champs in 2010 back in. I won my prelim game, then I lost to, I think it was, could have been in the world number 12, which was a battle, but I showed a lot of strength and obviously taking the first set off from him. And then I realized very quickly that I can become a professional. It's just going to take a lot of hard work and adjusting, because obviously cultures differ and obviously not having anybody that you know around you.
Yeah.
So it was a continuous struggle, but great memories obviously made on the pathway, and many more memories to be made.
Now, have you had to, in the past 10 years, had to hold down another job, or have you been full-time in darts?
Full-time in darts. You're not allowed to work in the UK based on the visa that I had.
Yeah.
So, yeah, everything had to be from, because you obviously only, you get money from sponsorships, you get money from your winnings. So, yeah, it's basically a pay as you perform, basically. So, basically, it's performance bonuses all the time. So, if you're not performing, if you're not winning games, you're not going to have any food to eat. So, I mean, there's no other motivational or better motivational factor than to put food on the table and a roof over your head. So, yeah, it made it quite strenuous, but I think persevering and pushing through made it all worthwhile. And all those struggles back then now look so sweet, because I'm actually reaping the rewards right now.
And your decision to base yourself in Bradford, in Yorkshire, Devon, any significance or with regards to that?
Yeah, a friend of mine, Joe Cullen, I could review him as my brother now. We've kind of made I signed up with his management when I just came over, and he was based in Bradford, and we had an immediate connection. He was a young buck coming through, but really a quality player. And his family is based in Bradford, and I quickly attached myself to his family to kind of give myself the family feel that I have in South Africa, and they made me feel welcome. Joe Cullen now is currently in the top 20 of the world players. And, yeah, I just learned a lot from him, and kind of he's helped me through all of this. And then also Bradford, because our tour, our like if you call it our pro tour, that we play in almost every bi-weekly, in a sense, is based in Barnsley, which is 20 minutes away. So for travel instances, it's quite easy to kind of navigate. And there's an airport close by. There's a train station that takes you anywhere. And then obviously I drive as well. So, yeah, I think just commute is easy. The lifestyle is not similar because it's very village mentality in Bradford itself, because it's not a massive place and it's not a massive, like, Cape Town kind of vibe. But, yeah, everything else, I mean, it's quite central to everything, and you're not more than 3 hours away from a beach, so it's not bad.
And life in the UK and life in Bradford, you've obviously adapted to it, and I've seen a couple of interviews of yours. There's no doubt you picked up some of the accent as well. You are comfortable with life in Yorkshire?
Yeah, I think the people are fantastic. I mean, especially up north, everybody quite friendly. I think it's because of the South African kind of roots, in a sense, and people, when they hear you from South Africa, they're welcoming you with open arms. So, and the accent only comes on or when you're conversating with them, because ultimately when you speak like a normal South African with an accent, then they always want you to repeat what you said. And I got quite fed up with repeating myself. So, I just kind of just changed the twang a bit, and they kind of understand it. So, yeah, that's where. But when I go back to South Africa, it is full out Afrikaans and English. So, the people in South Africa, they always pull my leg and say, "Yeah, you got an accent now." But when I get home, they know that it's still me.
and the work with Sky Sports. So I see you're a pundit on their darts offering. Is that right?
Yeah, that's correct. Commentator, pundit, presenter. So yeah, it's been fantastic. I mean, these are all the things, the hard work, building a profile in the career. And they just emailed me and asked whether I would want to be part of their team, the Sky Sports Darts team, which is fantastic for me. It means that there's a constant representation of Africa and South Africa on TV. And I enjoy that role as well, because it just gives me a deeper look in the analysis of the game. It's something that players don't actually look at, and I look at it now quite intensively. And yeah, but a lot of the times now, where I find myself higher up in the rankings, I'm playing in all of the tournaments now, so it's harder for me. I can't commentate and play, so most of the time I'll be playing. But yeah, I'm sure I'm still part of the Sky Sports team.
Well, I wanted to ask you that. So what, give me a sense of what the win in the German Darts Championship has meant for you. I know there was a £25,000 winner's check, but what does it mean for your career from a world ranking point of view and qualifying for certain tournaments?
So it's probably, especially with it being Corona, the pandemic and the lockdowns and all of those things. So our season has been kind of compacted to a lot less tournaments. So me performing in that gave me kind of an advantage, if I call it an unfair advantage for everybody else, because I put in the hard work, obviously, and now I'm reaping the rewards. But on a ranking perspective, I flew to, I think I'm currently ranked 42nd in the world, and that's moved me up. I think I was ranked 50, I could have been 51, 52.
Yeah.
So that's 10 spots, which is massive. But ultimately, people only look at the order of merit. The Pro Tour order of merit is the absolute, the holy grail, in a sense, because if you're in the top tier in the Pro Tour order of merit, you tend to get to, all the top events, which is probably one of the biggest things, that any player want to do. And obviously, with regards to earning cash, and all this ranking points that you get, I find myself in the Grand Slam of Darts, the Europeans, registered for the match play. So all of these events are now historical moments where Africa is represented in this for the first time. Charles Lasper, obviously, he represented South Africa in the Grand Slam, so I'll be the second player to play in that. But yeah, with my form as well, I'm now one of the in-form favorites to lift titles instead of just being an all-Sudan, which is fantastic for me, and hopefully the profile can inspire more South Africans and Africans to do the same.
Well, there's no doubt you're proud of your heritage, Devin, and I think it's obviously great for those of us back home who, when I say follow your career, obviously, you know, darts, it doesn't have a massive following from a general sports point of view here in South Africa, but I think, you know, it's great to see you, you know, you dubbed the African Warrior, and I see you like to dance onto stage to Shakira's Waka Waka, which is obviously quite unique, I would have thought, in the UK.
Yeah, I mean, that song is massive in the UK. It's the World Cup song 2010, but also just the words. I mean, there's a synergy with the words and my character as it is, and then being the African Wadi. I mean, it's literally having that unique package, and people kind of enjoy that. And I'm so proud of my country, and yeah, I love representing Africa and Mitchell's Plain and Cape Town. And so on and so forth. So it kind of brings, it makes sure that people know when I'm there, I'm playing for Africa. And if you look at my shirt design, it's very African in a sense, with the prints and the big African map on my with the thumbprint kind of there. It's all Africa and with a jive as well. I mean, I wish I could do the Jerusalem kind of challenge on the walk-on, but I think it will take away from the tournament feel. But yeah, it's just, I think me leaving and doing this and being kind of almost a trailblazer, it's given me a lot more motivation, and I know that the reason why I'm doing so well, or the push is there, is because I know I'm doing it for my country and my continent. So yeah, I always tend to have the roots underneath there.
And what's been the reaction from back home? I saw a fantastic piece of video. It looked like it must have been from your family household in Mitchell's Plain. Just family members going berserk when you landed that winning dart.
Yeah, it's always great. I mean, the reception, my parents, friends, family, everybody, always when the games are on and I'm competing, they're always around, always watching in groups. And I have a close relationship with many, because obviously being Devin Peterson, playing in the local leagues, it's almost like you have this, it's like almost like a friend that is now competing on a level, so somebody that you aspire to be like, in a sense, or better in a sense. So yeah, it's great to see that, and seeing videos like that, and like the World Cup when we finish the winning dart, those kids will be joining the JDC Corporation as well, or the Devin Peterson Academy. And just seeing their reaction gives you even more power to want to perform better, and because you know that in the long run it will help kids become to see their dream. Because dart players is, I mean, ultimately when I was growing up, there was never a opportunity for you to come professional, become professional like the opportunity that is now given to these kids. So I'll try and my utmost to kind of make sure that they get through there, and yeah, and make my family and friends proud continuously.
So come on now, Devin, there's no doubt that to the general sports fan who's not a darts aficionado, the perception of a darts player as a pro, I mean, you know, you're constantly battling this perceptions of it being for boozy, fat, overweight men in pubs. Tell us what actually goes into being a professional darts player, and give us a sense of your training regime. I'm quite, you know, I'm quite intrigued as to how you go about your business of preparing and maintaining a pro regime.
I think that stigma has always been, it's because that's what we obviously received in the beginning from like international TV and so on and so forth. But I think now if you look at the rankings, I mean, most of the players in the top tier is below 40. And you look at the players there as well, everybody's fit because we're playing longer seasons. It's more compact. There's always like tournaments going on. The booze are getting less. People are more looking at their health options, vitamins and kind of protein shakes and visiting the gym. But yeah, on a daily for me, I mean, I got three sessions. I plan three sessions every day, and it can go from anything between 3 hours to 4.5 hours a day. And that's split up in three sessions. And then, yeah, focusing on different things like different techniques, things that maybe you made a mistake in the past, and try and focus on that. And then obviously, after the sessions, I go to gym, kind of try and keep fit. I mean, yeah, that's kind of a daily chore in the sense that continuously keeps you there because we're competing almost virtually every week now. It's literally you coming back home, finding your feet a bit, and then, yeah, flying out again and then staying away for a week and a bit and then coming home again for a few days. So there's loads of away time from the family, but, and a lot of the times you're sacrificing on the practice board or competing at tournaments. So that's basically now the kind of regime, if you must call it that, that most pro players use now.
So you're into sort of the top 40 in the world rankings, Devin, and you're getting into more sort of top ranked events. What for you is the ultimate goal from here?
My first goal before the Worlds is hopefully to reach the top 32, which is in grasp, in very close reach. I just need to perform at a level that I know I can. And then, obviously, my goals always when I go into tournaments, I want to win them. So competing for that, but my ultimate goal is to be the world champ. I want to be the first African world champ and have that, especially with the current climate and the situation and just how the world is kind of shifting in a sense. I think it's time for an African champion and like Siya Kolisi and many others in our sport, like you had that Bindu also winning and so on and so forth. So you look at these players or these people or professionals making these inroads and allowing our communities to celebrate. And then I know I've seen this happen so many times where communities celebrate and it changes the shift and the mind of many of the young players coming through. So they become more professional. They become more dedicated to the sport and wanting to achieve more because they see it. So hopefully I can be that role model and kick open the door. And I think that being a world champ and increasing that profile will allow for many others to see their dreams come true.
The African warrior certainly living his dream and putting South African darts on the map.
Go, you good thing.